Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the apocalypse. It's the 16th day of March, the day after the Ides of March, although the Ides is technically a three-day period, so you should be weary all the way till tomorrow ends. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening, downloading, tuning in, telling a friend, and doing all that good stuff so we can spread faster than coronavirus. What a fucking nightmare, huh? All right, we got a lot of ground to cover and not a lot of time to do it in, just because the confluence of events as they are just keep on rolling along. Not only do we have all the coronavirus news, we have the Democratic debate news. It was like watching grumpier old men locked in a room together playing one of those prison escape games where you have to figure out how to get out of the room before you can get dinner or whatever the hell those things are. Yelling at each other, back and forth. They tried to elbow, but they actually did elbow bump. Which is funny. Is, of course, you can't shake anybody's hand anymore, which I don't have a problem with. I'm glad that hugging is sort of out of the way, but especially like hugging strangers. Oh, it's so good to meet you. I never thought anybody, you know, when I was single, I'm like, hey, it's a hot chick, free hug, I'm in. But in general, not a big fan of the hello hug, and don't get me started on the hello kiss, because I'll just rip off that Seinfeld episode. But we had this situation where you can't shake anybody's hand, so their podiums were 6 feet away. I love that. They measured it, and they tweeted out, CNN tweeted out a picture of the two empty podiums, and this was before Bernie and Biden were standing behind them. They were still empty throughout the debate, but they had the two empty podiums there, and they said, these are 6 feet away, just as the CDC says they should be. And it's like, well, okay, great, 6 feet. What? These are two elderly men. Why don't you put them 10 feet away? Does it really matter? 8 feet away, a little bit further. 6 feet is like the closest you can possibly get without there being a problem. When you are elderly and you have some health issues, which both of these guys have a history of different sorts of issues, how about you put them 10 feet away? How about you put them around a giant freaking table on opposite ends of it? I'm all for keeping these guys safe. I think that most of the rest of the Democratic field was much better on the campaign trail and much better on the debate stage than either one of these two. So I'm all for one of the two of them ending up being the Democratic nominee. But to make such a big deal, anyway, that's beside the point. They come out, and rather than shake hands, they do an elbow bump. The problem is, if you're making a big deal about being 6 feet away from each other, the elbow bump puts you pretty close. You know, I got long arms, so my elbow bump probably puts you 2 feet away from me. More importantly, when Joe Biden did it, he kept his bottom half away. He did one of those hugs where I don't want my penis to touch you kind of things, but he leaned into it. So theoretically, his head was much closer to Bernie Sanders' head. So if Bernie Sanders has it and he coughed a little bit or grumbled or whatever and spittled on Joe Biden, he could have had it. I don't think that happened. I'm just saying this is how ridiculous we are. Wave to each other, okay? Just wave to each other. Or better yet, just stand there Okay, that's it. We know who you are. We know you know each other. We know you're not going to like run risk of breaking out into a fist fight, and you're not there's no animosity there if you don't shake hands. We get it. So just calm the F down, and you don't have to do the, because 270-plus-year-olds, 178, 177, they'd look like Statler and Waldorf, just the puppeteers had a seizure in the middle of it when they try to do this. It's like, the still frame is great. It's like two geriatrics trying to dance the cabbage patch right next to each other, and their Wonder Twit powers accidentally activate. I just don't get, look, old white people. I love old white people. My dad's an old white person. But we're really the worst. We're just the worst. Anyway, we've got a lot to get to. We're going to cover a lot of ground on the program today, as I said, just because that's what the show is. That's what we do. We'll start off with Joe Biden. Right off the bat, the guy comes out. Did you notice this? Did you notice he comes out coughing? He coughs right into his hand, too. He's got an elbow. He already tried to bump it against Bernie Sanders and nearly fell over doing that. So he's got the elbow, and instead he coughs right into his right hand where he's got a pen. So if he's got his pen in his hand, he leaves the pen on the desk. If he does, somebody's going to touch that pen. It wasn't Joe. I don't think that Joe Biden is a carrier by any stretch of the imagination, although when you're that old and you're coughing a little bit, you might want to think about getting tested. Just saying. So that happened. And we'll get to the rest of the debate, because they're promising everything under the sun, the moon, and the stars. Open borders this, free that. We need to make sure that nobody profits off of this thing. And it was such a freaking nightmare. It really was. But first, let's have a word from our sponsor, AncientLifeOil.com. The CBD oil that I take every day comes from AncientLifeOil.com. It's good stuff. It actually tastes pretty good, too. And that is a rarity for all of that. You go to AncientLifeOil.com. They're having a big sale right now, so everything is marked down. You check it out, you load up your cart, or you just try one simple thing. You say, hey, I'm going to give this a shot. I want to see what everybody else is talking about. And then you hit promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout. You get free shipping. You can't beat it. Special deal just for you, so you save even more over and above the already great sale that they have going on out there. They've marked down stuff. It's a good time to stock up on CBD oil, because the benefits that it offers are great. Search it for yourself. And then when you decide to give it a try, go to AncientLifeOil.com. Enter promo code Derek at checkout. You get free shipping. Big sale on everything there right now, so check it out. All right, let's get back to the debate, shall we? Watching Bernie beat up on Joe is like watching a fight in the nursing home over the last bowl of pudding. It just wasn't good. I'm not going to play any audio from the debate, just because if you didn't watch it, you didn't. And there's more important news going on in the day. I want to get to the coronavirus stuff and all the hysteria there. I waited to record until watching this debate, thinking that there could be a big moment that, I'll play one clip from it, because this sums up both of them, actually, but it's Joe Biden who says it. Joe Biden is talking about how he's just going to stop all deportations in the first 100 days, and then nobody will ever be deported again if you aren't a felon in this country, which means, you know, South America and Mexico's felons, criminal masterminds, come on into this country. As long as you can go straight when you get here, you're good, and you will be protected by the full force and credit of the United States government. Here's Sniffy Joe.
First 100 days of my administration, no one will be deported at all. From that point on, the only deportations that will take place are commissions of felonies in the United States of America.
So to be clear, only felons get deported and everyone else
Period.
Has to stay?
Yes. Yes. And the reason is it's about uniting families. It's about making sure that we can both be a nation of immigrants as well as a nation that is decent.
Oh, it's about uniting families, and it's about being a nation that is decent. What's messed up here is no deportations for the first 100 days, and then that means anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a mass murderer wanted in Mexico. It doesn't matter if you were a murderer here in the United States and get out of prison during that 100 days. It just doesn't matter. You get to stay for at least 100 days. And then he says after that, you get to stay as long as you didn't commit a felony in this country. Well, I wonder if that applies retroactively to the murderers who are paroled, who are in this country illegally. I don't know. I doubt Joe knows. I highly doubt Joe has given much of any of this his full attention, or as much attention as he can give anything. But I find it interesting that, and Rich Lowry of National Review pointed this out on Twitter. It's bizarre for Biden to be going this far to the left and essentially inviting all comers. Just come on in. As long as you get here, you're fine. Come on in. We're not going to secure the border. Fencing is bad. Walls are bad. And once you're here, as long as you don't commit a felony, you can stay. That is a disaster. That is the left-wing fever dream, by the way, which, you know, is what AOC and Bernie Sanders and the rest of the goon squad want to have happen. It is not a mainstream American policy. So it was really bizarre to see Joe Biden, who, for all intents and purposes, all he had to do was not drool on himself. And we'll see how much. I didn't pay that much attention to his coughing throughout, but apparently he coughed a little bit throughout. We'll see how much attention that gets. And if Joe Biden comes down with coronavirus, I think it's pretty much over for him, to be honest with you. I don't know how he can win, and Bernie would sort of win by default, or since all the other candidates suspended their campaigns, they would all rush back into the race, and then it would be fun. And I'm not wishing that Joe Biden has coronavirus. I'm not wishing that, you know, if he did, anything other than a full and complete and speedy recovery for Joe Biden. But that would really bring, if either one of these guys comes down with it, but Biden's the leader, and he was the one who was coughing. That's why I'm bringing it up. If that brings it in, if that happens, that brings their age into play in a way that has not been into play yet. And it would be a way that I don't know how you can recover from it. I don't know how you would pull back from that precipice. So short of that, and the diagnosis, any diagnosis certainly wouldn't happen in the next 24 hours, which is when the next round of tomorrow is when the next round of states vote. So it seems highly unlikely that it will be a factor in this. And tomorrow is likely to all but mathematically, and the series, you know, you see the baseball teams with their magic numbers and like, ooh, we've got a chance. And it's like, no, not really. I mean, mathematically you have a chance, but it's highly unlikely that you're going to catch the team in front of you if they have a magic number of 1 or even 3 and you've got 10 games left to go. I think you got that locked up. And the way that Democrats give out their delegates, it's still possible, and in fact probable if he stuck through it, that Joe Biden would not get, if Bernie stuck through it, that Joe Biden would not get enough delegates to secure the nomination, the 1,991 delegates needed to secure the nomination outright. But he would go into the convention with more votes and more delegates than anybody else. Bernie Sanders agreed. Well, Bernie Sanders was the only one who agreed that whoever does that, if they don't have a majority of the delegates, should in fact win the nomination. Which would be kind of funny if that came back to bite good old Bernie in the ass, wouldn't it? So I'm not sure how he could go forward with that. But if Joe Biden gets sick, even if it's after Tuesday, I suspect all bets are off, everybody gets back in, and it becomes an absolute scramble free-for-all. Just to think, you know, just to be a little morbidly curious and hypothetical here, and I don't want anybody to get sick, ever, under any circumstances. I wish we could all live forever and live healthily. If Joe Biden had to drop out, or if Joe Biden just got coronavirus and his support collapsed, everybody scrambling back into it would be very opportunistic, but it would have to be done because the party's going to have to nominate somebody. But it would also be very curious how it happens, what they did, because no one can campaign the way that campaigns are normally run. You can't go out and glad hand. You can't go out and kiss babies. You can't show up at the diner. The diner's going to be closed. It is a situation where what would you do? Normally in life, your social media footprint doesn't matter. It doesn't translate to real world success. There are people who are wildly popular, million Twitter followers. Oh my God, the sycophants, they just love you. And you can't sell a book. And then there's someone like me who sold a book and sold way more copies than my publisher ever thought I would sell, and way more copies than I ever thought I would sell. Not a billion copies, certainly not a ton of copies, but me being a nobody, having written a book and suddenly, you know, this many people buy it, it's like, wow, that's weird, you know, but it's a damn good book. And the people I'm thinking of who are wildly famous and popular, wrote really bad books. So it social media footprint doesn't mean you're going to get support. Plus, there's a lot of hate follows out there. You know, Bernie Sanders, I don't know how many followers Bernie Sanders has compared to how many followers Joe Biden has compared to Pete Buttigieg. I'd imagine if I was thinking about the Democratic field, I'd almost have to guess that someone like an Elizabeth Warren has the most Twitter followers. But again, she didn't win anywhere. She didn't even win her home state. She's just been sort of a progressive hero for so long. I imagine she's amassed enough Twitter followers. Joe Biden doesn't have nearly as many, I'd bet, because he's just an old guy. You know he's not actually sending the tweets himself, right? You know that Joe Biden is not handed, he's not busting out his iPhone going, I got to send this tweet. The world, I just had a thought. The world needs to know. So the idea that Twitter followers, okay, I'm looking at Joe Biden has 4.4 million Twitter followers. Let's look up Elizabeth Warren here because I'm just going to bet, and I could be wrong, but I imagine she has more. Well, she has 3.9 million Twitter followers. Okay. So I guess I don't even know. Let's look at Bernie because I bet Bernie blows them all out of the water just because it's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has 11.3 million Twitter followers. He's still in the race. He's got almost, you know, three times the amount of Twitter followers that Joe Biden has. I'm not going to go through all the rest of mine. I don't think Bernie Sanders has anybody's close to Bernie Sanders. Mayor Pete probably is doing pretty good, though. But it hasn't translated to anything electorally in the grand scheme of things. When you look at the accomplishments, or the victories, I should say, not accomplishments, the victories, it hasn't translated into that. Because social media isn't real life. Twitter is not real life. And people forget that. So if you had to run a presidential campaign almost from scratch, online, sort of on social media, because that's all you can do without endangering people's lives, what would that look like and who would that benefit and who could come out of it? Because, you know, there's going to be an argument about, you know, they Buttigieg and Klobuchar and Bloomberg for a large extent dropped out of the race to help Biden against Bernie Sanders. If Biden, for some reason, has to drop out or loses support because he gets sick for a while and people start really thinking about, do you want to elect this guy at 77 years old to be president of the United States? Because he'd be older the day he took office than Ronald Reagan was the day he left office, which is massive and huge. And people don't think about it, but if they really thought about it, if they were forced by circumstances to think about it, that would really sort of be bizarre. It would to watch this thing happen like that, it'd be curious. Because I don't know how, if any of these candidates, maybe Buttigieg, are tech savvy enough to be able to actually run a campaign where you can't go out and physically campaign. President can. The president, you know, he's we know he tweets himself. But these other guys, I just don't know. Let's hope it never comes to that. I don't know why that thought occurred to me. It's a little bit fucking morbid, but still, you know, you have to deal with the cards that you're dealt, no matter how shitty they are. And Democrats, well, they're playing with beat up old cards that are all wrinkly and crinkly and folded and everything. There were a lot of moments from the debate that on a normal night would have been big, would have been important. I just don't know how it gets through, how any of it. I mean, look, I bet you that this debate will be highly rated just because people will tune in. The large percentage of the population is very panicky right now. So people will tune in because one of these guys, one more than the other, stands a chance of becoming the next president of the United States. And they want to know what their plan would be. But their plan seems to be just about everything that President Trump is doing. Get me experts. Listen to the experts. Well, what the hell is the president doing? He's got every expert in the freaking country up there, and all you guys do is bitch about how it's a bunch of old white men. Like, really? You're not serious people. Anyway, that's beside the point. But the rest of the answer that these Democrats gave is just bitching about Donald Trump. And no matter how false anything these candidates said was, they were not called out on it by any of the moderators. Now, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash have been around Washington, D.C. for a while. They follow the political world. They know the truth behind a lot of the lies. I can't speak for the woman from Univision. I don't know her background. So she looked young. Maybe she doesn't remember. Not too many people get excited about the prospect of debating the long-term viability of Social Security and Medicare, for example. So Bernie accused Biden of advocating or at least being open to the idea of cuts to Medicare and Social Security. Joe Biden flatly denied it. Bernie said, go to the YouTube and look at it. The problem for Biden is that he does have a long track record of at least entertaining the idea. And that was what the allegation was. And again, you're just sitting there and you're going, Joe, it's yours to lose. And it's like you're trying to lose. It's like you're daring voters to vote against you. It's bizarre to watch for me, to be perfectly honest with you, sitting there going, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you... look, I'm not a big fan of the prevent defense, okay? No matter what the sport is, when you're sitting there and you're looking at the world and you're like, we've got a lead, we just got to sit on this lead. I'm more of a go-in-for-the-kill kind of guy. That's what I like. That's why I like boxing, for example. But in politics, when you're dealing with somebody whose supporters you're not going to get a lot of Bernie support, hardcore Bernie bros. You're just not, because they're Bernie bros. It's ride or die with Bernie Sanders, period. End of story. They don't give a damn about anybody else. They will, if they show up in November and Bernie's on the ballot, they'll vote for Bernie, and then they'll run out and leave the rest of their ballot unchecked, unless like the Communist or Workers' World Party has people up and down the ballot, which they usually don't. It's very unique to him. The rest of Bernie Sanders supporters, who are, you know, less insane, I guess, you got them, or you can get them once you get the nominee. They just have to get over the butthurt. It's that simple. So to sit there and have this argument over something that matters so deeply, when realistically, Bernie was giving you a way out. Bernie was giving him a way out. Just admit that you screwed up. Admit that you were wrong or you changed your mind or whatever. Bernie was essentially begging him, please, God, just say something. That, because Bernie, I don't think Bernie's enjoying running for president, especially now that he can't go out and feed off the crowd and sell the books and all that stuff. So I think Bernie just wants to kind of nudge, push, shove Joe, elbow, if you will, Joe further to the left and get him to commit on some of the things that he cares about the most. And Joe Biden to resist, to fight on things that are irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. Who gives a shit what Joe Biden advocated for Social Security or Medicare years ago? I care what he wants to do now. And what he wants to do now is sort of deny the fact that there is a massive financial problem coming soon from them. So he has to sort of maintain the lie, though. He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't. But he chooses to, which is where he's screwing up. It is part that Joe Biden is losing his mind. But it's also that he's getting really bad advice, because people giving good advice to somebody losing their freaking mind, A, wouldn't have put him on the stage. They wouldn't have put him on the debate stage. B, they would have given him a cough drop before the start of it, just in case. You know, look, when you start talking, you can have a little frog in your throat, maybe you swallow wrong, whatever. You want to try and make sure that there's no throat irritation whatsoever that can cause you in the midst of a pandemic to even clear your throat a little bit. You just don't want to do that. So they drop the ball there, and you don't tell him to deny the obvious. If Bernie Sanders had accused Joe Biden of saying that the sun rises in the east and it is out of favor with the radical left fringe of the Democratic Party to say that the sun rises in the east, Joe Biden would deny that he ever acknowledged that the sun rises in the east. He would have probably gotten a tramp stamp tattoo, says this way faces west, baby, of a sun rising up over his ass crack. Whatever he has to do, he has to pander. And that's Joe Biden's problem for the general election. This is a ready-made campaign ad. Joe Biden versus Joe Biden. Who would win the debate? Joe Biden when he was semi-lucid when younger, or Joe Biden now who denies that semi-lucid younger Joe Biden never existed? See what I'm saying there? It's a self-inflicted wound for the general election. Now, circumstances may overtake it. Who knows what tactic the Trump campaign will take? I can't predict these things. But in general, watching this, I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, why? Why is this happening? Why is Joe Biden allowing this to happen? And why are Joe Biden's highly paid campaign flacks and hacks allowing this to happen? Quinn is knocking on the door. Hey, Quinn, come here. You got a lot of fans who listen to this show, many more than I do. Say hello.
I'm going to get fair and get round and round.
You're going to go round and round? Are you getting dizzy?
Yes, I'm so dizzy.
Yes. So who do you think won the debate, Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden?
Definitely not the super cat speed.
Yeah, you're probably right. Catboy was the ultimate winner, as in most things. Okay, thank you for stopping by. There you go. There's your Quinn fix. She really, every time she's on, emails, oh, I love hearing Quinn's voice. I love hearing Quinn's voice. Makes me think that my voice sucks. Everybody hates your daddy, Quinn. Yeah. Everybody hates your daddy. All right. She's got nothing to say to that. She just likes to be in the room. But yeah, it's mostly Joe Biden's problems are self-inflicted wounds. It's bad campaigning, it's bad campaign advice, and it is a bad candidate. It is harmonic convergence of stupidity and shoddy workmanship. And so congratulations, Joe. You limped through the debate. You could only lose, and you ultimately did. You ultimately did. Whether or not he ultimately loses, I guess we'll find out. Time will tell. It's going to be very interesting to watch it. This is, horrible times, very interesting times as well. So we shall follow it all for you. Okay. Speaking of horrible times and horrible people and incredibly stupid people, that brings us to our friends on the left, some on the right, and the media when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic. Of course, this is the story that's dominating the world. It is shutting down large swaths of the world. And we're really, it's only a matter of time before it shuts down the United States for a little while. The general idea behind this is if people don't interact, then it can't be spread, right? That's pretty commonsensical. And so you're seeing entire countries, Spain, Italy, basically saying, stay home, stay inside. That's why, you know, you need to have some food. It's not stay inside forever or you're going to die. It's not like that, I can't remember that shitty, what's his name? M. Night Shyamalan, whatever movie it was, where like the earth was farting and people were dying with the wind or something like that. It was unleashing some unholy thing. It was some environmentalist crap. And that's the problem, is to come up with a good idea for a movie, not a way to please liberals. As the winds blowing across the country and people would just kill themselves or whatever the hell it was. I only saw part of it once. I don't feel like I missed anything. It's not like that. If you get it, you'll be sick for a while, and then you'll probably recover. For something like 80% of the people, they say, that who get it, the symptoms are pretty mild. And then there's another percentage of people who get it, and the symptoms are pretty harsh. There's a write-up in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about a guy who was 50 years old and on a class field trip. He's a vice principal, class field trip to Europe, and got it and came back, and it nearly killed him. And then there are the elderly and the people with pre-existing conditions who, they run risk of dying. So the ideal situation, if you're a decent human being and not a complete douchebag, is to stop the spread. See, once you get it, you've got it in your body. The objective is to not spread it. It's not like a game of hot potato where you've got it until you give it to somebody else. I guarantee you there are some millennials out there who think that's how it works. It is your body has it. Your body is fighting it. Your body, if you're young and healthy, is probably destroying it, but you can still give it to someone else while there. Viruses replicate. That's what they do. And our body's immune system destroys it, no matter how fast it replicates. Ideally, not always, but ideally. And you manage the side effects with medicine and proper care, and you hopefully defeat this thing pretty quickly. The problem is that while your body is defeating it still, or while you actually don't even know you have it yet and aren't showing symptoms, we're not entirely sure when people are contagious, but we just know that they are, that you can give it to somebody else while still feeling the ravages of it yourself. So you want to stay isolated while you're sick. The second you know you're sick, actually, you want to start staying isolated the second you know or suspect that you were exposed to it. Pretty simple, because then you won't be spreading it to anybody. You lessen your prospects of getting anybody else sick. And that, in theory, in reality, really, but in theory, should be the objective. And so many people are not doing that because they're piles of human garbage. Quinn, quit slamming the door around. In or out. I don't care which way you go. You just got to pick one. They're piles of human garbage. They don't think that it's a big deal. They think that they're fine. There are a lot of people who, see, you can carry this thing without even knowing you have it. You can get a really mild form of it. You can get a really severe form of or case of it. I know a couple of people. I have a couple of friends who I suspect had it, because they described to me what they said was the worst flu they've ever had. Now, this was before all of this. This has been around since probably October, if not longer. And the world didn't really find out about it until much later. So it likely spread around. Some people may have had it already. We don't know. We'll never truly know. It's not important how it got here as much as it is important that we stop it spreading as best we can. So the problem is there are so many dumb fucks out there that misinformation is spreading, and some people seem to think that they're above all of this. I'm going to play two clips here. One is a short clip of this dumbass girl. Now, it's ironic because this dumbass video, or the video of this dumbass, she's a young college girl, she's hanging around a bunch of people. It's clear that they're probably, it's over the weekend, they're probably having some beverages or getting ready to have some beverages over St. Patrick's Day. Now look, I was young once, I get it, I was single, you know, it's, oh man, let's go out, let's have a, let's rage, let's try and get laid, let's try and meet chicks, let's go out and have a good time, drink, blah, 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 blah. And the idea of staying cooped up at home is wildly unappealing on a weekend. But that's what you got to do. It's that simple. If you don't, if you're going to the grocery store, fine. I went out this weekend, I went to the grocery store, mostly out of morbid curiosity to see how it was. I went Saturday night at, I guess it was like 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm a natural night owl. And so I went up to the Safeway because I knew that they were 24 hours. And I figured fewer people. I want to see what the people have wrought on that Safeway whilst there. The produce was 90% gone. Now, I'm not saying, you know, like 90% of the tomatoes were gone, 90% of the apples. The only things that were left were apples, some cherry tomatoes or grape tomatoes, some pre-cut onions. There were no bags of onions, no bags of potatoes, no bags of anything. For some weird reason, the yams, nobody took the yams. I don't know. I don't eat yams, but I don't think I've ever had a yam. But the fresh yams were there, the green onions and cucumbers all over the place, and pineapple. Nobody wanted any of those things for whatever reason. Maybe they don't keep long. They're not apples I buy with regularity, but the other stuff, cucumbers seem to last for a while too. Anyway, it was very bizarre and surreal. They did have toilet paper. It was being restocked. The shelves were barren, but the aisleway was full of boxes. So if you were in the market for toilet paper, you could have gotten all the toilet paper you wanted. They had soap, hand soap, liquid antibacterial hand soap, which doesn't do any good because it's not a bacteria that we're fighting, but people want that. Soap is soap is soap, and wash your hands. They didn't have any hand sanitizer, though. It was just really surreal. There were only two other customers in there, I assume because most people were sleeping or had better things to do at 3 o'clock on a Saturday night. But I had to see. I wanted to see. I like to keep these updates. So I saw that, and then I went out on Sunday. Just had to. I went and got some cash just in case, because you never know. People are fucking stupid, and if things get incredibly stupid, then, well, I just want to be prepared a little bit. Better safe than sorry. Not a lot of cash, like $500. But, yeah, and the streets were kind of normal. Actually, when I was out going to the ATM on the way back, I drove by the Costco. It seemed like a normal Sunday. I drove past the Safeway. Seemed like a normal Sunday. I didn't go in because I didn't need to go in. But I hope all the panicked buying is gone. I hope the panicked buying is done. I doubt it is. But there's a story actually right here from The Hill. Amazon warned of delayed deliveries and items going out of stock as the coronavirus outbreak continues to spread. The online retailer said the increase in people shopping online is having a short-term impact on how it serves customers. In particular, this is Amazon posting on their blog, quote, "In particular, you will notice that we are currently out of stock of some regular brands and items, especially in the household staples categories." The retailer added that promised deliveries will take longer than usual. And it's really getting to that point where people need to calm the hell down. If you've got 100 rolls of toilet paper, you're never going to wipe your ass that much. Not during this. So, and if you get to that point, that you go through 100 rolls of toilet paper, society's collapsed, and you've got bigger problems to deal with. So you can calm down on that. You can, if you, look, it's, if you had to stay inside your house for 2 to 3 weeks, if you just had to stay inside your house 2 and 3 weeks, you would survive just fine. The water would still run. It's not a waterborne virus. If you have a filter, that's smart. And you probably, I bet you have enough food if you just take care to be smart about it. Don't cook up everything. Don't eat everything at once. You eat less, and you can turn a can of ravioli or SpaghettiOs into 2 meals. Yeah, there's going to be some times where you're just like, I got a real hanker and I'll rip open a bag of Doritos and go crazy on it. Just don't do it. Be smart and you'll be fine. But staying inside and staying sequestered would stop the spread of the virus. And then the virus would not disappear forever, but it would peter out. Back to my original point. That's the point of isolation and closing places down. Once your body has defeated it, you're not necessarily, it's too new to know whether or not you're immune to it forever, but that you are no longer contagious. If people stayed in, just hypothetical, it's not going to happen, but hypothetically, if everybody in America stayed in, or the homeless people went to a homeless shelter and everybody was indoors and sequestered and they're watching TV and they're with their families or whatever, and that's just where you are and you're going to ride this thing out. We could, if everybody did that and everybody was on their best behavior, we could stamp this thing out in this country. If we secured our borders and kept the travel bans in place, we could secure this thing within a month. Easily, within a couple of weeks, realistically, to the point that it would be incredibly manageable and things would not get any worse. The problem is that so many people in this country are so fucking stupid. And we go back to this millennial girl at the party over the weekend, clearly a college student. One of the, if I'm her parents, I am smacking her across the face next time I see her. I'm going to walk up to her. I'm going to show her this video. I'm going to smack her across the face. Ironic, well, before I say why it's ironically, listen to this very short clip. And this was indicative of a lot of millennials, apparently, over the weekend who said, fuck it, I'm going to the bar. Fuck it, I'm going to the club. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go do the other thing. I'm young. I can handle it. This girl is, she's young. She's not, well, she says she has, well, let her say it. Here she is.
I have a compromised immune system, but I'm still only 21. But I'm not even worried because I just take supplements and like I self-medicate, so it's fine.
Now, I don't wish ill on people generally. As a rule, I'm not always able to live up to that rule, but I do try to live by it as best anybody can. But this chick is a fucking moron. She's an idiot. I take supplements and I self-medicate. It's code for I smoke weed. That's it. I smoke weed. She doesn't say why she has a compromised immune system. It could be that her brain doesn't function at a high enough level. That would be my suspicion. The brain doesn't function at a high enough level, so the body doesn't function fully. Or she could just be full of shit. One of the two. It doesn't really matter. See, the problem isn't that, you know, she's at a great risk of dying from coronavirus. It's that she's putting herself at great risk of contracting coronavirus and then going to visit her parents, who then might go and visit their parents. And you see how the chain of command goes, and the grandparents would likely have difficulty surviving, or could at least have difficulty surviving, not to mention the daisy chain of fuckwad stupidity that this moron started off because she wanted to get hammered and possibly hook up with a drunk frat dude at a college party. This is the problem. Now, what's funny is that video that I just played for you was posted to social media by Barstool Sports. Barstool Sports is, it's a website that prides itself on being sort of in your face. It's kind of, in a lot of ways, it's a stereotype. It's just kind of a dumb, it's a sports website. They have some funny stuff. It's dumb funny. You don't really read much of it and you go, oh my God, this is brilliant. I'm a better person for having read this. You don't walk away from Barstool Sports that way. But it's a wildly popular website amongst the younger set. The millennials love it. The kids today, they love their Barstool Sports. Although, if they're not politically correct. If you're not woke. If you're woke, you won't like Barstool Sports. Barstool Sports is run by a guy named Dave Portnoy. He appears regularly on Tucker's show. And he sort of made his brand and his millions being this I don't give a fuck kind of guy, this contrarian, the guy who's not afraid to say the things that other people are afraid to say. And it's really just not true. He's just kind of shameless about it, and they happen to catch fire. There are plenty of people who do what he does in the sports world. Well, while Barstool Sports was mocking this dumbass chick, with this tweet of a video of her, the president of Barstool Sports posted his own video about how he's going to go out and he's going to party and he's going to do whatever the hell he wants unless the government tells him they can't. He doesn't care. If people are out having fun, he's going to go out and have fun. Now, Dave Portnoy, I don't know how old he is. I'll look up how old he is during when you listen to this clip, but he's not 22 years old. He doesn't look like a spring chicken. I suspect he's in his 30s, but he's got to act like he's in his early 20s or late teens, because that's the business model that Barstool has. I heavily suspect that he is lying here. The problem isn't what he says. The problem is that so many people are saying what he says and doing what he says, and he's sort of encouraging that. Listen to this.
Okay, emergency press conference, coronavirus. We got a state of emergency, quarantine city, sports totally canceled. And here's the debate now that's raging. We got young people. I'm going to say young people, I don't know, 42 and under. They're still going out. They don't give a fuck about this quarantine. Go on social media, St. Patrick's Day. We got people swapping spit, drinking out of each other's cans, dancing, laughing, having the time of their lives. In New York, I walked down the street, restaurants still fucking busy, packed. And now people get mad, be like, what the fuck? Are we trying to quarantine? Is this coronavirus a real thing? What the fuck's going on? I go to CVS today to buy reduced bad Cheez-Its. Didn't have them. They did have one thing of toilet paper left. I fucking bought it. Don't even need toilet paper. Just fucking exhilarating to have something that's like gold. It's like, I got toilet paper. Felt fucking great. I don't even know why I bought it. For all I know right now, I'm Noodle. I could have the big C. I love that Stanford email. Like, if you're going to hold your breath for 10 seconds, you don't have it. Some people are saying it's a Nigerian prince email. Some people say it's real. So I don't have it. At least I don't think I have it. Maybe I'm a carrier. Would I not go out? No, I would 100% go out. This is what's driving me crazy. People get mad saying no one should go out, then shut down the entire fucking city for 3 weeks. But young people are going out. Restaurants are open. Lots of bars are open. Things are open. People are partying. They're having a good time. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. Either shut down everything or shut down nothing. But you can't shame it. Because what am I going to be the only idiot not going out when everybody in my age demo is going out acting like the big C is a fraud? Is it a fraud? Don't know. Rudy Gobert, they look fucking fine when I have it. Donovan Mitchell look like he's having the time of his life playing video games. Tom Hanks, smiling. If you're under 60, I think Corona is like maybe a mild flu at best. If you're over 60, health complications, major problem. People are saying we're going to overwhelm the healthcare system. All these young people are carrying it, running around like, you know, there's not a care in the world. Well, then fine. Shut it down. I have no problem if this people know more than me. If it's that serious an issue, shut everything down. But don't sit on social media and be like, how are these young people going out? How are they going out? Because everything's fucking open and everybody's going out. And I'm not going to be the asshole. And I'm not going to tell you to be the asshole who sits home is the only person under 45 quarantining themselves. Nobody's going to do that. It's either going to be all or none, because I don't care. If people are going out, I'm going out. They're not having fun if I'm not having fun. So don't socially shame people. It's up to legislatures. It's up to the government. If you want to totally quarantine it, I'll play by the rules. But until then, I'm going to steal your toilet paper. That's what I'm going to do.
He's right in one sense. There are a whole bunch of morons going out to crowded bars and trying to hook up and trying to get drunk and having a good old time. And they're stupid. It's just that simple. I mean, there's no real other way to put it. We're likely going to end up, I would suspect, by the end of the week with everything being shut down. Everything being shut down. We're seeing it now. Various cities around the country are closing the bars and restaurants. They're ordering them closed. Emergency powers, baby. Government granting itself emergency powers that can do just about anything. So I suspect that will spread to the point that pretty much everything except grocery stores and drug stores will be shut down. And police and fire and all that stuff will be shut down. And that's it. Just done and done. It wouldn't have to come to this if people weren't so stupid and so selfish. I looked it up. Dave Portnoy is 43 years old, so he's a bigger loser douche than I thought. But that mentality is about 12 years old. If everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it. All that mentality needs is one idiot to go, I'm going, I don't care, I don't feel anything, I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof, I'm going to go out and do it, I'm going to go get my drink on, going to have some fun. And somebody else says, well, if you're going to go, I'm going to go. Because when you're young, when you're in your teens and in your early 20s, you are the dumbest human being on the face of the earth. It doesn't matter who you are. I was the dumbest human being on the face of the earth. I could tell you things, laws I broke, things that I did to violate the safety of myself and the other people with me, like you wouldn't believe. And I'm sure you could do the exact same thing. The problem is that when you get out of your early 20s, there comes a point, I'll just confess to it, because what the fuck? One of the many things. In Detroit, you can kind of get away with, well, you can't get away with it, it's not legal or anything, but it's much easier to get away with drunk driving, okay? I'm not breaking any news here. I'm not the only person who's ever driven drunk in their lives. But in Detroit, the Detroit police officers don't really patrol the freeways, and the state police don't really go into the city. So it's kind of like no man's land. Yeah, every once in a while you run into an exception, but for the most part, it's no man's land out there. And downtown Detroit is designed to get people the hell out of there as quickly as possible. There are freeways, every freeway there going in every direction, and you can get anywhere pretty quickly. So we would go downtown, get absolutely shit-faced, and drive home. It was not smart. It was incredibly stupid. But when I was young and dumb, I was young and dumb. And when I was young and dumb, I had the belief that I was an excellent drunk driver. I was a really good drunk driver. Then somewhere in my late 20s, I remember I'd borrowed a car. Late 20s, maybe early 30s. Now it's late 20s. I borrowed a car from a friend. And I was in Washington, D.C. drinking. And drove home, and I made it home, and I shouldn't have been driving. I didn't get into an accident or have a near accident thing or anything, but I did come up to a checkpoint, and I thank God it was so slow that a whole bunch of people were turning around over the island, over the median or whatever. It was just grass, and so I did that, and I got the fuck out of there. I got home, and I thought, whoa. Bullet dodged. Is it one of those DUI checkpoints or whatever? It was a ways up, but after you sat there in traffic for like 25 minutes and you itched up close enough, I said, holy shit, that's what that is. And I saw people going over the grass, and I said, I'm going over the grass. And I got home, and I just sat there, and I thought, and I remember sitting there thinking, plain as day, it'd be really fucking stupid to get a DUI. At my age right now, you know, I've started off my professional career. It would be really fucking stupid to do that. And from that moment on, I was done drinking and driving. If I was drinking, I was taking the train, and I didn't, you know, I had a friend's car, so I really screwed over her. But from that moment on, even to this day, if we go, me and my wife and somebody's watching the kids, and we go to some event or something, and there's wine, and like I could have a glass of wine and be fine. We're there for like 2 or 3 hours. I could easily, but if I'm driving, I'm not touching it. I'm not interested. I don't miss it. If I want to get drunk, I'll drink at home, or I'll take an Uber or something like that. Or if I want to have a few drinks, not that I go out and get drunk, but it's that mentality. Sooner or later, you grow out of it. Sooner or later, you realize that it would be really stupid, and the way you've been living is really, really stupid. And apparently, a lot of people in Boston and New York and other major cities have not reached that point yet. So instead of a lot of places being open for casual sort of, I don't know what the hell they'd be open for. They could go and do delivery only or takeout. Now you screwed them, because now cities are saying, nope, we're going on lockdown because you morons can't go a couple of weekends without trying to go out and getting laid, without going out and getting completely hammered and being a complete and total jackass. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why we can't have nice things. But lest you think that it's just a whole bunch of liberals, I don't think Dave Portnoy is a liberal. Listen to Congressman Devin Nunes again. Good conservative member of Congress saying something incredibly counterproductive and stupid on Fox News or Fox Business, one of the two, this weekend.
And well, there's a lot of concerns with the economy here because people are scared to go out. But I will just say, one of the things you can do if you're healthy, you and your family, it's a great time to just go out, go to a local restaurant.
Yeah.
Likely you can get in easily. There's, you know, let's not hurt the working people in this country that are relying on wages and tips to keep their small business going.
You know,
going.
We're very
so
sympathetic.
Don't run to the.
Understood.
Yeah, just don't run to the grocery store and buy you know, $4,000 of food.
Right, they're cleaning off the shelves.
You know, go to your local pub.
No, don't do that. This is so stupid. This is the problem. People go, if you're healthy and your family's healthy, then fuck it. Yeah, go out there and take a risk with your family's health. It's not about you getting sick. If you're young and healthy, congratulations, and you're probably going to be fine. It's, again, that chain of dominoes that you could set off. Would you be able to live with yourself if you were responsible for your parents' death, or even your parents' illness, your grandparents' death, your grandparents' illness, your neighbor, some random person? Could you live with yourself? How would you feel if your kid got sick? Now, thank God that coronavirus doesn't seem to be impacting young people very harshly. Great. The younger, the better. They're like, Joe Concha said on Friday, that children don't really seem to, I don't know if he said that on air or off, children don't really seem to be overly impacted by this, and for whatever reason. Maybe their immune systems are just ripping, roaring, and ready to go, and great, good, thank God for that. But that doesn't mean it's going to be uniform across the board. So why take the risk? If you feel bad for the local businesses, and I can understand that, and you want to support your local businesses, there's a simple way you can do it. Start a GoFundMe page. Donate a couple of bucks. Say you would have tipped $5, you know? Then just throw $5 into it. Set it up so that the benefits go to the staff at your favorite restaurant. And then send it around on social media and start nudging people that you know who go there, or other people, or put it on the restaurant's Facebook page, since every restaurant has a Facebook page. And try and get people to you don't have to throw in $1,000. You do not have to be a hero. You just throw a couple of bucks their way. And so the staff and even the owner, because these are small businesses, can have something without having your ass possibly being a carrier coming in and getting the staff sick. And look, once a restaurant, like, one of our waiters has coronavirus, that place is done. That place is done. Nobody's going to go there. Nobody's going to go there throughout this, and nobody's going to go there after this. It's that simple. Stop being a jackass and start being smart. Start being rational instead of emotional. Don't be stupid. Is that too much to ask? And sadly, it is for so many people. In the last couple of minutes we have left, I want to play two clips, both from CNN, because CNN is the place for assholes. First, we have Christiane Amanpour. poor. You know, lest you think that people dying around the world and people living in fear around their world and around the world is a bad thing, and elderly in particular living in fear around the world is a bad thing. Christian Amanpour has found the silver lining. It's not all bad, because we're not able to, human beings, particularly in China, but I'm sure she's hoping it comes here, we're not able to excrete more as much CO2 into the atmosphere. I shit you not. Listen to this dumbass.
So if there is a silver lining to this crisis, it's visible in the skies above China. The dramatic slowdown in manufacturing and driving has caused a reduction in carbon emissions.
Yay, congratulations. People aren't driving as much in China because there's a lot of them dead. Congratulations. There's people not working in China because there's a lot of them dead and even more of them sick. Congratulations. I get Amanpour writes her own scripts, so this thought occurred to her. But somebody puts it into the teleprompter. There's a producer there who likely looks over it beforehand. And no one involved in that, no one involved in any of this, because there are more people involved. There are a bunch more people involved. Nobody said, what the fuck, Christian? You're not saying this on air. This is stupid. She then introduces a climate change alarmist, and the situation devolves from there into typical left-wing pap. So, but there are no words. I've gotten a couple of emails from most, the overwhelming number of the emails are like, I love the new language, got to call it. And, I could control it, but I don't fucking want to. These people are so damned annoying and just stupid people that it's worth it. Sometimes you have to write a few paragraphs in your novel with a lot of exclamation points. So that's the period that we're in right now. There's going to be a lot of exclamation points. I like to reserve on the show swearing for exclamation purposes, but these fuck nuggets just deserve every last bit of it. And so if it offends you, I'm sorry. And some people were like, I'm not offended, I just don't think you should do it. I understand the argument. It's kept my tongue in check to this point. But we're coming up on 500 shows. We're like 15 shows away from 500 shows. And there's a handful that I've sworn in. And nothing is as annoying and as serious and as exploited as this. So if someone like Christian Amanpour doesn't deserve to be called a fuck nugget, then nobody on earth does. Except for maybe the human potato. And that's where our last clip takes us. The Surgeon General of the United States tries to tell media types like Brian Stelter, that fucking moron. And look, when they find a bunch of bodies buried in his backyard or his attic, I am not going to be surprised in the least. But this self-righteous piece of human excrement looks like Mr. Potato Head with Venom's teeth, if you know what Venom is from the old Spider-Man comics. Looks like that. It's not going to surprise me in the least. This guy, here's the Surgeon General say, basically, hey, media, stop focusing on the blame game and all this partisan crap and help spread real information, honest journalism, important information to the American people. You can do your jobs, damn it. It's very important what you do. Do it and stop with this partisan crap. And Brian Stelter gets pissed off, gets absolutely, well, listen to the human potato himself.
But yesterday, Saturday, Trump's Surgeon General Jerome Adams had a peculiar message for the media.
Some straight talk from the nation's doctor. We really need you all to lean into and prioritize the health and safety of the American people. No more bickering, no more partisanship, no more criticism or finger pointing. There'll be plenty of time for that.
He said he needs that. So let me tell you what I need. I need him to do his job, focus on keeping the country as healthy as possible, and do not lecture the media on how to handle this. Because, yes, the press is prioritizing public health. Every hour, journalists are getting information out to the public about how to protect themselves. But criticism, is part of the American democratic experiment. It is so important to be able to criticize and challenge our leaders and demand answers.
See, now, under the old self-imposed rule on the podcast, I wouldn't be able to tell Brian Stelter to go fuck himself. Because that's not what your network is doing, you fucking idiot. See, Brian Stelter, to me, is the personification of a shart. He's what a shart would look like if you shoved a high-speed camera in your underpants after a night of heavy drinking and eating Taco Bell. You would get a picture that looks vaguely like, but probably better than the real thing, a Brian Stelter. What kind of piece of human excrement says something? What did the Surgeon General say that it is so bad? Hey, look, media, we could use you right now. You know, there's a lot of information out there. We could use you to spread it. Well, we do it once an hour. We say, yeah, wash your hands. All right, how about that Trump? Back to the panel of three idiots bitching about the president. Who can blame? Let's play a game of who can blame the president the most. There, all right, it's a new hour. Hey, wash your hands. And all right, now Trump sucks. And here's our panel to Trump. Brian Stelter cannot handle any criticism whatsoever. He is the most insecure person on the face of the earth. He must have the highest self-image of any human being on the planet. Wildly unearned, but incredibly high. And I imagine he avoids reflective surfaces in any criticism, and rarely does he venture into his mentions column on social media because his fragile little psyche can't handle it. Well, Brian, congratulations, you little fuckwad. You're an idiot. And whatever happens to you and the people you work with, if it's bad, you've earned it. You deserve it. You are a special brand of stupid for which there has not yet been a word invented to accurately describe. So from now on, I think I'm just going to call you the shart, because that's what you remind me of. That is all the time we have for today. Went a little long, but I just, these fucking people. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Maybe do a preview of the apocalypse and the primaries. I got to say, I am kind of curious to see how coronavirus, I know it's going to impact turnout in the states that are voting tomorrow, provided that goes off. At this point, I don't think you can cancel it. It's going to be very curious to see how this whole thing plays out. Stay safe out there, everybody, and stay home. Watch a fucking movie. Good Lord. See you tomorrow. See, Brian Stelter to me is the personification of a shart.